The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. And Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson, the people have been wandering in the wilderness. They have been in the wilderness for a long time. They are tired of walking. They've been eating the same food for weeks and weeks. And they're tired of it all, and they come to Moses and they say, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Just as a little sidelight, you notice, this is so very true of us that, you know, when we complain, we have this tendency to exaggerate. "For there is no food and water, and we detest this miserable food." So which one is it? Is there no food, or is there food that they just detest? How quickly they forget. They were slaves in Egypt, suffering under the lash of Egyptian taskmasters. And as it says in the book of Deuteronomy, "The Lord brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders." You know, already they've forgotten the miracle of the Passover. They have forgotten God's victory at the Red Sea. They forgot how, when they were hungry, they came to Moses and God provided another miracle. Each morning and they would get up and there'd be something like breadcrumbs on the ground, manna. And they could make it into cakes to eat, and they didn't have to worry about their food. It was there every morning. They forgot how they decided that they needed more than those cakes to sustain them. And Moses and God provided another miracle. Each morning they would wake up and there would be a flock of quail which descended on their camp. And every morning God provided meat for them to eat. And I'm sure that these cakes and quail were far better than what they were eating as slaves in Egypt. Yet, this miraculous gift of bread and this miraculous gift of quail are the miserable food that the people detest. How quickly they forget the blessings of God. They complain that there's no water. They have forgotten that every time the people of Israel are thirsty, they come to Moses and God would provide another miracle. Moses would strike a rock and rivers of water would flow out of that rock. They've forgotten the promise. They are on their journey to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're right on the very gates of the promised land. Their journey is just about over. The promised land is just around the bend. And yet, they've forgotten all of God's blessings. They have forgotten the way that God has miraculously intervened in their lives. They've forgotten the slavery and the hardships that God has saved them from. All they can do is say, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." In some ways, I can understand the people of Israel. It has been a long journey. They have lived on quail and manna for a long time. You know, when it's difficult, it can be hard to see God's blessings. I understand that. This past week was a long week, and I was kind of scrambling to get everything done, and my head was kind of full of lists of things that need to be done each day, and one of you came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, did you see the gift of sunshine today? The sky was beautiful. After all those weeks of dreariness, we had brilliant blue skies and bright sunshine. It's God's way of saying, after this winter, cheer up. Good weather is right around the corner. The spring is here. Hey, Pastor, did you see the gift that God sent us today?" Nope. I missed it. I was too busy. My head was full of more important things. Things more important than taking the time to appreciate God's gift to the beauty of creation. More important than appreciating the colors in which He paints the skies and the way that the world looks different on a cloudless day. What a wonderful gift! But I had more important things to attend to. I really appreciate those people that are really attuned into God's blessings in their lives. I recently visited a shut-in, and here she is confined to bed. She's on oxygen, and her health is slowly deteriorating. But all that she can talk about is how God has blessed her throughout her life. And even now, when she's very limited in what she can do, she sees God's blessings each and every day. I appreciate the child that gets the difficult diagnosis, a diagnosis that perhaps meaning a life-altering and life-threatening illness, but still enjoys life each and every day. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such belong to the kingdom of God. I think we adults need to rediscover life through the eyes of a child, through their wonder, and through their awe, and their celebration of the little things in this life, their perhaps unconscious awareness and appreciation of the blessing that God gives them in their lives. God indeed showers us with blessings each and every day. And it's unfortunate that sometimes we are so overwhelmed or even too busy in this life or so distracted or have too many more important things to do than look for God's presence in our lives each and every day. You know, the book of Lamentations, by the way, lament means complain. The book of Lamentations was written in the darkest time of the history of the people of Israel. And it's a book full of complaining. If you want to feel good about yourself, read Lamentations about and how upset this other person was. You'll figure your life is great. But this is what the author writes, just kind of midway through. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new each and every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As difficult as life was for the person who wrote Lamentations, he reminds himself to look for God's blessings each and every day. And I also like St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and we've talked about it in one of the women's groups. St. Paul is in prison. And he doesn't know what his future will be. Usually, when you went into a Roman prison, you did not come out, even if there was no trial. But in this prison, St. Paul can write, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You know, to the Philippians, the people that were struggling as well, I might expect St. Paul to say, "I know it's tough, hang in there, and God will get you through this." But he doesn't. This is what he says. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." May you see God's blessings in your lives, not just in the easy days, but also in the not-so-easy days, even in those darn right hard days. But as St. Paul says, looking for and giving thanks for God's blessings is what brings you true peace, no matter what else is going on in your lives. And when we look for and we give thanks for God's blessings, then the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the writer of Lamentations was correct. God's mercies, God's blessings, never come to an end. They are new each and every morning. We just have this awful way of missing them.